Negotiations are taking place on Capitol Hill today and remotely over competing coronavirus relief packages. Republicans put theirs forward late yesterday. It calls for stimulus checks of $1,200 in direct payments, something that was done with the first HEROES Act that was out. And then there are additionally unemployment enhanced benefits that under the Republican plan would be $200 a week instead of the current $600 a week beyond what a particular weekly state unemployment benefit would be. The proposal provides $105 billion to schools and colleges, and the bulk of those funds would go toward campuses reopening with in-person learning. Also, a liability shield would be provided against COVID-19 related lawsuits so that businesses would have at least some short-term protection against those lawsuits. Joining us to talk about the proposals is Shayna Charles, Assistant Professor, Department of Public Health at Cal State Fullerton. Professor, good to have you with us again.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk first of all about the money that directly goes into COVID-19 related health care here. What would this mean for California looking at the Democratic and Republican proposals?
Well, certainly the unemployment benefits that the Republicans are proposing wouldn't go far enough in California. When you're talking about the difference between getting $800 a month versus $2,400 a month, that's a huge difference. And in California, $800 a month could barely cover your grocery bill, for example. Now, that would be on top of other unemployment benefits, but as we all know, those are pretty limited. And really, it would just help people directly if they had that higher payment continue. What's going on right now also with the eviction moratorium coming to an end, in some places it's coming to an end sooner than others. California, we've got some extensions through September, but people are getting very worried that the help is just going to run out before then. And the $1,200 checks, I mean, that certainly was great for people who received them in the first go around, but I'm still hearing complaints from people that they never received the first check. I actually saw a post on that yesterday in my local city buzz forum asking someone for help. And I know the mismanagement of that with the confusion of the checks versus the deposits versus the blank ATM cards that were sent out caused some problems there, too. So I think we've got some issues with that. And then we have some issues with people aren't signing up for the public health coverage for which they might be eligible because they're afraid of losing benefits. They don't know how to do that. And the state is also looking at a deficit that might make subsidies for that coverage difficult at the state level.
Yeah, I was reading a story, I think it was in the Los Angeles Times, about how increasing Medi-Cal enrollments that were expected with people losing their jobs hasn't really happened, nor have there been increasing applications for the Affordable Care Act in California. And I wonder if part of that, Shayna, is just that people are so reluctant to go to the doctor right now with COVID-19, they're not bothering to sign up even if eligible.
Well, certainly we're hearing that. I'm actually running a study right now on delaying care among our student population at my school. And I'm hearing a lot of reports about that the high delays in care, and it's almost half of the country that is reporting that they're just not getting care that they think they need because of issues like being afraid that they might be exposed to COVID. But then the other issue is that when you lose your job and you're on unemployment, and we're hearing that so many people are on unemployment for the first time, they don't necessarily think, oh, that means I can now go and get public coverage. Oh, that means I can go sign up for Cover California and maybe get some subsidies with my income level, my projected income level. The uncertainty is there. So I think people just feel stuck where they just don't know what it is that they can do to move forward.
We're talking with Cal State Fullerton Professor Shayna Charles, also with us from the American Enterprise Institute, health policy expert and health economist Joe Antos. Mr. Antos, good to have you with us again. We appreciate it so much. I wanted to talk with you about the unemployment benefits. This is something Republicans have been critical of, the $600 a week enhanced unemployment benefits, claiming it's kept some people who could have returned to work out of the job market because the benefits are higher than the compensation. do we have some sort of an objective study to determine how much that's happening?
I haven't seen one, Larry, but clearly in states that are nowhere near as expensive as California, that is a fact. I mean, this is one of the many defects of national policy applied to a very diverse country. It's very hard for Congress to come up with policies that are really fine-tuned to the specifics of states. And, of course, there's politics involved. Where are the expensive states politically? I'll let other people speculate on that, but I know where Republicans think the expensive states line up at the voting booth. So that is a problem. The fact is, though, that the UI program, as Shane has said, hasn't worked very well. In most places, certainly in Maryland where I live, there are still plenty of people who have applied or tried to apply months ago, and they still haven't gotten all the way through the roadblocks that these kinds of programs have. So the stimulus payment approach, at least in concept, ought to work better. Send a check out to people. There are obviously some problems there too, but there's less bureaucracy.
Also, you've got state by state quirks. Here in California, we have a work share program where the employer can cut the hours of an employee 10% or 20%. I think it goes up to 40%, and the employee who is furloughed, that percentage of hours, under the current plan, gets the full $600 a week, even if it's only a 10 or 20% cut. So KPCC is actually under one of those sorts of work share programs. So at least in the short term, you have people that are potentially making more money under the furlough program than they were at 100% of employment. And Joe Antos, is that because the state unemployment insurance plans don't have the software to break it out percentage-wise like that?
Well, I think there is a software problem. There's an information problem in general. And it's not just with the UI program. It's basically every program that states and the federal government try to run. It's very hard to get very accurate, timely information from people, especially people who've been laid off. Or their employers about what they were making last week. It's just very difficult to do. So putting all the pieces together is very complicated. And who are the losers? Well, the losers are basically the people who've lost their jobs. So that is a big problem. I have to say that Republicans regularly will say in Washington that the $600 additional payment discourages people from going to work. For some people, that's true. For other people, they don't have a job to go back to. And so, again, I think the stimulus payments, the Paycheck Protection Program, and other stimulus kinds of efforts here are really very important to get the economy back moving.
We're talking with Joe Antos, the American Enterprise Institute, and joining us from our own Milken Institute here in Los Angeles, the Center for Regional Economics and California Center, Executive Director Kenneth Clowden. Kevin, good to have you with us again. Your thoughts about the competing proposals of the two parties?
Well, you've got a real challenge for both of them that when they put forward the original stimulus bill and they reached an agreement, each was convinced that it was only going to have to last a few months, which is why you're hitting this July 31st deadline. And neither of them really know how long this is going to go on or it's going to be managed. One of the things I'll say this just in general about this assessment of trying to tie the unemployment benefits to a maximum of 70% of income is just that element of the bureaucracy. The states ultimately have to have the information to be able to make that determination, and they don't. And they don't have the ability to process and make those determinations on a ceiling that's supposed to go up to about $500 a week as opposed to the $600 now in the Republican plan, because there's just no good setup for it. The Department of Labor actually went out and said they couldn't do it either. Mm. And that means that you do wind up with a lot more validity in the Democratic approach of saying, let's just continue the $600 a month payment, $600 a week payments. The catch with both is that in states where they're more expensive, these payments are not enough. These payments are stretching very thin. When you combine the limits of those payments with the fact that the renter protections are about to expire at a national level, let alone in a number of states, and there's a real concern that cutting these payments is going to lead to a wave of evictions. And if that happens in the middle of a pandemic, then we could see an even greater surge in cases, and not just simply in a place like Los Angeles County, but in real dangerous hotspots in Florida and Texas and elsewhere.
All right. We're talking with Kevin Cloudon, who's executive director of the Milken Institute Center for Regional Economics in the California Center. Kevin, your thoughts about where we're likely to land here. You anticipate we're going to end up somewhere in the middle?
We are going to wind up somewhere in the middle. I think that the push is going to be for some sort of compromise. What I've heard is that the Republicans would like some sort of reduction in terms of how the monthly payments are. The Treasury Department had suggested a couple weeks ago that they would like to do payments that phase out towards the December 31st deadline. So they would be open to the idea of maybe starting at $600 and then gradually reducing over time. That becomes difficult when we realize that any vaccine is still going to take quite a while in terms of going through the different stages of clinical trials, let alone production and implementation. And the vaccines really are the only way that most of the epidemiologists feel like we'll be able to get back to something vaguely related to normal. So that timeline seems to be up in the air. The Democrats, in addition to wanting these payments to continue as much as possible, have a number of other concessions they really want to see, including additional health benefits, some targeted additional targeted lending, not just potentially the extension of PPP, which wasn't in the original Democratic proposal, but they're open to now, but also specifically targeted assistance towards women and minority-owned businesses and communities, and also really help for the states themselves. And the Democrat proposal back in May included a huge amount of money that was intended to shore up state finances, and that hasn't been in any of the Republican proposals.
All right. I want to thank you all so much, Kevin Cloudon of the Milken Institute, Joe Antos of the American Enterprise Institute, and Shana Charles, professor at Cal State Fullerton. Coming up next hour on Air Talk, our political analyst will be with us. We'll talk then, too, about the competing proposals, the next step of a stimulus plan in the wake of COVID-19. Coming up, our focus will be on professional sports. Major League Baseball just got underway 5 days ago with games, and already we have a serious problem with the Miami Marlins and a number of their players and other team personnel testing positive for the coronavirus. We'll talk about what the implications are, not just for Major League Baseball, but pro basketball and other sports, back in 1 minute.